بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن عمرو بن العوف، عن عمرو بن عوف الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث أبا عبيدة بن الجراح رضي الله تعالى عنه إلى البحرين يأتي بجزيتها، فقدم بمال من البحرين، فسمعت الأنصار بقدوم أبي عبيدة، فوافوا صلاة الفجر مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انصرف فتعرضوا له، فتبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين رآهم، ثم قال: أظنكم سمعتم أن أبا عبيدة قدم بشيء من البحرين؟ فقالوا: أجل يا رسول الله. فقال: أبشروا وأملوا ما يسركم، فوالله ما الفقر أخشى عليكم، ولكني أخشى عليكم أن تبسط الدنيا عليكم كما بسطت على من كان قبلكم، فتنافسوها كما تنافسوها فتهلككم كما أهلكتهم. متفق عليه. This is a hadith which we briefly began the introduction of yesterday. The narrator is a Sahabi who accepted Islam in the early stages, Amr ibn Auf Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, also a Badri Sahabi. He says that verily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, who is from the Ashara al-Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba that were given the glad tidings of Jannah in one majlis, or what ulama ikram refer to as the top 10 Sahaba. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Bahrain, which is in Iraq, to bring the jizya, that is the taxes that the non-Muslims who pay for living under the protection of a Muslim ruler. فَقَدِمَ بِمَالٍ مِنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had just returned to Medina Munawwara with the jizya which he had collected from Bahrain. So Amr bin Auf says that the Ansar of Medina, as we mentioned, Ansar are the residents of Medina. They heard of the arrival of Abu Ubaidah. So they came in large numbers for the Fajr Salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This coming in large numbers for the Fajr Salah, what does this refer to? Why is this specifically mentioned? Because it was the practice of Sahaba-i-Kiram in Medina Munawwara that particularly the Fajr Salah, obviously because of the early timing of Fajr, they would make their Fajr Salah in the masjid that was in their locality. It was not normal that all from all over Medina, everyone would come for Fajr Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they would perform the Fajr Salah in the masjid in their locality. But contrary to what was the normal practice, this time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around, he saw that in large numbers the Ansar had come. In other words, they had made a special effort on that particular day to attend the Fajr Salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Masjid al-Nabawi. The reason being quite obvious, we know the very hard and straitened and difficult circumstances through which the Sahaba underwent or went through the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At times, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would turn around and he would find that half the saf of Sahaba had fallen down unconscious as a result of hunger. Then there were what we call the Ashabu Suffa, the Sahaba who used to live on the raised platform in Masjid al-Nabawi. Days on end would go without them having any food. So great poverty and hardship was generally the lot of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no time to earn livelihood. Such were the pressures of striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such were the pressures of the propagation of deen that sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice they gave. So it is quite understandable that when they heard that a large amount of money has come, what we call mali ghanimat, spoils of war or taxes. So obviously the Muslim Ummah has a share in this. So in expectation of receiving some sort of financial stipend, in large numbers they presented themselves at the Fajr Salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I mentioned, this was perfectly justifiable and understandable also. Imagine you're going through hardship, difficulty, and you hear that some money has come to which you have a share and you have a right. So you will naturally make that special effort to go forward and collect whatever is due to you. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the Fajr Salah in Sarafa, he turned to leave. فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهُ. So the Ansar presented themselves to him. In other words, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was probably some pressing need, some taqaza he had. So immediately after the Fajr Salah, he was proceeding to fulfill that taqaza. Such was the zeal which the Ansar had to try to get some share of this wealth that had come, that it is mentioned in the hadith, فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهُ, that they presented themselves, they made known their presence to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this, فَتَبَسَّمْ, he smiled. From this we learn the mizaj of nubuwat, the temperament of nubuwat, the great akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And more importantly, we learn from the hikmat and the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the conduct of a leader. Let us put into perspective what actually happened. The status of Sahaba, their imani caliber, and their credentials were such, coupled with the fact that they were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran is coming down, wahi and revelation is coming down. So what was the requirement? The expectation would have been that total disinclination from the dunya, i'rada anid dunya. So what we see here is, although perfectly understandable, it is not in keeping with the caliber and credential and status of Sahaba, particularly when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is amongst them, for them to show this great zeal and inclination to collect the wealth of dunya. This is not something that you would normally expect. Whilst I am saying over and over again it is understandable, still it is something you would normally not expect. So what? There were two options to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could straight away have told them, what is wrong with you people? Stay away from the dunya. How can you have love for dunya? Increase your qurbani, increase your sacrifice. And what you are doing is wrong. He could have scolded them, and it would have been understandable. But what happens when you do that? Then you break the hearts of your followers, and you break the hearts of those who are under you. Even though their credentials and their caliber demanded that this type of zeal to collect what was rightfully due to them should not have been shown. They should have been a bit more discrepant in the manner in which they came to collect this. Even though that was the requirement and the demand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not admonish them. He taught us every aspect of life. And he taught us how to be a leader also. How to accommodate the weak ones amongst you. Not everyone is always going to be doing what you expect them to do. So like I said, there was two options. One is you could have scolded them. And the other is, look at the reaction. فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He smiled at them. He smiled at them. And not only did he smile at them, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, أَذُنُّكُمْ سَمِعْتُمْ أَنَّ أَبَا عُبَيْدَةً قَدِمَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. He says, it appears to me that you people heard that Abu Ubaidah has brought. And here also look at the choice of words. For those who are familiar with the Arabic language, he said bishay. In other words, brought a little bit. That is something not of real value. Although the amount that Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah had brought from Bahrain was 100,000 dirhams, which is a vast amount of money. particularly to those who are in strife and difficulty and hardship. 100,000 dirhams is a vast amount of money. Yet Rasulullah says, قَدِمَ بِشَيْءٍ, has brought a little bit. In other words, no real value in it. But he smiled at them. And he said, that أَذُنُّكُمْ, I think, or it appears to me, that you people heard that Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah has brought a little bit from Bahrain. So immediately, one is the courteous manner in which Rasulullah addressed them, smiled at them, brought them closer. And it comes in the riwayat, فَتَبَسَّمَ حِينَ رَآهُمْ, when he saw them, he started smiling. Such was his love for the Sahaba-i-Kiram, that like I said, every day he would not see all of them. Today they had come in great numbers. So he greeted them with this welcome and with this happiness. And obviously there was a wry acknowledgement in the smile that what you are doing is not the what I would have expected. But nevertheless, he accommodated it. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they acknowledged this, and they said, Ajal ya Rasulullah. They said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, this is why we have come. Again, Allahu Akbar, the hikmat and the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Abshiru, become happy. Glad tidings to you. What he could have said? What's wrong with you? You would get your share. What was the need for you people to gather like this or clamor around? He could have said that. Dunya is going to destroy you. But Allahu Akbar, Abshiru, become happy. وَأَمِّلُوا مَا يَسُرُّكُمْ, not only become happy, he said, glad tidings to you and hope for that which will make you happy. In other words, be at ease. Be at ease, whatever expectations you have come with, those expectations will be fulfilled. In other words, you will get your share and whatever hopes you had. In other words, one hand, obviously, like I said, it was not in keeping with their caliber, but on the other hand, remember the great financial challenges that they were facing. Many of them were in debt. Many of them didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. So this was a lifeline and halal and permissible for them. So this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put them at ease. And he said, glad tidings to you and hope for that. Again, look at the choice of words. Ma yasurrukum, that which will please you. Not please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please you. Because in reality, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's gaze was not on this. His gaze was on the akhirat. Sahaba were going through hardship. But what Allah was giving them on that hardship, what Allah was giving them on that hardship, that was in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is one of the primary and fundamental roles of a Nabi. That whenever ease or wealth of this dunya presents itself to his ummah, one is, he said, become happy.